broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 28th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. What we need is pure application of the principles that made America great in the first place. That is God, family, and country. In obedience to the supreme law of the land. Pure application of the principles that made America great can do it again, folks. It's that simple. Without further ado, Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. To preserve the nation is his goal, and his name is Dr. Scott Bradley. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. Always good to hear you guys on a Monday morning.
All right. So there's a lot to discuss. There's so much to discuss. It's kind of shocking. But before we get to there, I got two little housekeeping things that I want to bring up. Number one, we have added a new news service to the network. So at the top of the hour, we have Salem Radio News, first 5 minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, we've added USA Radio News. So we've got basically 5 minutes of news at the top with a 1 minute commercial. So 4 minutes of news at the top. And at the bottom of the hour, we've got a 2 minutes of news and one commercial. Those are the commercials that on barter were required to clear in order to carry the news. So it's a win-win for everybody. Bottom line is there's 6 minutes of news and 2 minutes of commercials to pay for the news, if you will, that we have every hour 24/7 on Liberty News Radio now. So we've got two national sources of news. And you know, some people say, Sam, why would you even have the mainstream press news on? I mean, you know, well, several reasons. Number one, we need to keep an eye on what's going on. We also need something for late-breaking news, whether you like it or not. It's very good to have late-breaking news that's very hard to get to in a talk show format. And then these are the two most conservative news services that there are, nationally speaking. I know that we should create another one, and if there was money, we would. It would even be much more constitutional and conservative and all these things. But you know what? These guys are Christians. They're doing the best they can, and we want to support good wherever it's found. And we want to spread their message. And so anyway, the bottom line is we've added that over the weekend. We have now top and bottom of the hour news. On the hour, on the half, and when it breaks, if you will, is happening for Liberty News Radio 24/7. So that's one piece of good news. The second piece of good news is the loving Liberty Radio Network added Liberty Roundtable Live, our talk show. We thank them and welcome them to the team. And we're appreciative of all their efforts and all that they do. Another piece of good news, the third and last piece of good news that we have this morning, is there's a network called the Nevada Radio Network, and they're part of USA Radio Network in the sense that the similar people who own some of these things or own a lot of these properties. Anyway, the Nevada Network covers most of Nevada, and it's overnight, it's in the middle of the night, but they have put on Liberty Roundtable Live, so our show's on the Nevada Radio Network as well, so we welcome everybody from Nevada. You now have the opportunity to hear hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 2 hours a day, we're live, and we are on the Nevada and the Loving Liberty Radio Networks. So we commend both of them and thank them for joining the team. Do you want to respond to that, Scott?
Well, it sounds like there's some hope that the truth might be spread more widely. It's one of those things that it just shocks me at how little the vast majority of the nation seems to care about receiving, you know, the rest of the story, if you will, about what's going on with us. But man, I'm just so pleased. I'm assuming that these folks, regardless of what hour they play, your show will be kind of revisited during the time that they've slotted you in. Is that correct? So they'll be able to hear, you know, anytime, you know, during your 2 hour segment you do every day, that may be replayed in the middle of the night in Nevada, but they'll still hear the conversations. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so sometimes people cover it live. Sometimes people, it's in the old days, it was called tape delay. Now it's a rebroadcast, whatever you want to call it, but it will be fresh content 6 days a week. Do you want to add to this, Kurt? I think it's phenomenal news, and we're grateful for their leadership and their involvement.
Yeah, we couldn't be more grateful. And the bottom line is, whether it's a little or a lot, we appreciate it, ladies and gentlemen. If you take the broadcast and pass it on, grab the MP3, there's just so many ways that can be done. And then you get information from great guests and ideas like Scott Bradley and so many others.
Amen to that. And one last point on this. I agree with Kurt. We're so grateful for all that they do, and we're grateful for the partnerships. And Kurt's right. You know what? There is no donation too little. Everybody's little participation matters. There is a guy. I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but he gives me $5 a month, Kurt. When I say he gives me, I should say he gives Liberty News Radio $5 a month. And you could say it's nothing, but you know what? That's $60 a year, and he's done it for like 5 years. Okay, just imagine if we had 1 million Americans doing that. I'm telling you right now.
You know, I've got a little bit of a perspective on that.
Please,
you know,
sure.
You think back about, you know, in the New Testament when the Savior observed the widow's mite being donated, and her gift was a munificent gift because it was all she had. And I really truly believe in the heavenly accounting system, and I believe there will be an accounting ultimately and finally. I do believe that things that are given for the right reasons, to the right purposes, and all that kind of stuff, in a heavenly sense, there will be a recognition, a reward, if you will, and as you say, no gift is too small. I've run for office a few times, and I remember one crippled guy that came up on his crutches to me, and he says, "I want to contribute to your campaign," and I said, "Wonderful, thank you." And he took his wallet out, he opened it up, I saw what was in his wallet. There was $1 bill. He took it out and he handed it to me, and he says, I'll do what I can. And it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, you think about the widow's mite, a widower can give a mite also, and the fact of the matter was, I mean, this was a very aged gentleman, and it just kind of breaks your heart to think that some of the rich and famous that just get more rich and more famous and more debauched, and they seem to be kind of, I don't know, they go between rehab and jail, a lot of them, but they sure have lots of money, but they sure don't put it to the things that really matter most. But
yeah, you know the nickname for this network is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, right?
Well, that's probably a good way to kind of refer to it, but you know what? Every single bit goes to the cause. That's what I like about it. Some of these people, they take, you know, you look at the Clintons and their foundations and stuff and how much of it goes to their quote-unquote overhead, you know, when you make a donation to them, and it's kind of enriching and lining the pockets of the people at the top. But I know you guys and what you do, and every single penny goes to the cause of liberty, and I take my hat off to you.
Yes, that's true. Every penny and more. Sometimes it costs us money. I know it sounds crazy if people think, you know, hey, this is a job. We're paying money to do our job in addition to our time. But that is indeed what happens because we believe that the cause we're engaged in is sacred. And we believe this is the widow's mite. And we're doing what we can for liberty. And that's why the show's not named like the Sam Bushman Live Show. Hey, it's not about being a rock star. It's not about becoming famous. It is about advocating for the fundamental ideas and the principles that make men free, that help people understand who we are and what we're doing in a meaningful way. And it's not about me. It's not about Kurt. It is about the sacred cause. It's not about Scott. It is about the sacred cause of liberty. We want to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Scott's website. Not only does he join us weekly on the radio, but he's adding, this is the fourth piece of good news, I guess, he's adding the links to the discussions that we have to his website in addition to his webinars that he does weekly. Talk about those a little bit, Scott. They're tremendous.
Well, we do, every Thursday we do a Q&A, a question and answer. It's on the World Wide Web. Anybody that wants to get on in the world can get on, and we field questions that it's turned into a kind of a current events kind of thing. People want to know what's going on with the wall or what the latest is on the budget or you know, what's going on in Afghanistan or whatever. And we do the best to field those questions. It's an hour-long program. And then what we do after we've done that is we take the recording of that and we slice each of the questions into a little segment, a little video, and we put it on our Freedom's Rising Sun location. We have hundreds of them on there, and it's interesting. Over the years, it seems like we have a lot of repeat kind of questions that it's just update kind of thing. So you could go there and you could get something from last Thursday night on our website right now and find out what was said about different subjects. And so we put out about that. We get through about probably 6, 7, 8 questions every hour when we do that. And then we slice them up, put them on there. So there's a little segment. If you wanted to, you could listen to one every single day. You can pass.
And it means every topic when you break them up is around 5, 6, 7 minutes apiece too, right?
Correct. And so, and you know, it's you guys know me fairly well, and you know that I like the rest of the story. And an hour and a half to me, you know, I look at, for example, the 85 essays in the Federalist Papers, and I think, dang it, why didn't those guys write more? Most people struggle trying to get through them, but I love the detail and the richness of the truth that's in there. And so my natural propensity is to take an hour, hour and a half on any subject, but we've kind of, just by the nature of the beast of this webinar, the questions are short enough that people could get in and listen to one, let's say, 8 or 9 minutes and be done with it. And
I remember I asked Scott for about a 1,000-word article one time, and he said, I think I can get that done in about 10,000 words. Yes, sir, I'm glad to do it.
Well, that's the thing. Part of the problem with America, I honestly believe, is that we think everything's got to fit on the back of a business card. But
yes, in one way that's a problem, and one way that's a blessing too. We'll talk about that. I also want to talk about some infighting going on. We'll break it down. Sam, Kurt, and Scott on your radio. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Scott Bradley on your radio. We're talking about things that matter most. And there's so much to cover. Kurt just sent me, like, I don't know, 10 stories or something. I got to actually get to a couple of the stories that he brings up here. Jerome Corsi says that he's happy to testify against Roger Stone. Says the Klayman Law Group. It's all over the news. Bottom line is you got Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi. Both of them are in trouble with Mueller. Donald Trump stands on the sidelines and complains that, oh, man, there's nothing here. Move along, move along. And Trump doesn't know what to do. And Jerome says, hey, I'll testify against Stone. Sure. I'm convinced what's going on here is they got ticky-tack issues. They're letting the real criminals run free while they attack these guys. And what they're really trying to do is just divide two guys, pit them against one another, and see who will betray who first. Kind of a scenario, Scott. What do you think?
You know, Jerome Corsi's a pretty bright guy. He and I have spoken from the same podium at different times, and so I have had a little bit of contact with him. Don't know him well, but he's able to put two and two together. And I just, when you said that he's going to testify against Stone, I thought, well, that's an interesting way to put it. Maybe he wants to get on the stand and be able to express the truth as he knows it. And it might be different than what some people anticipate. It's kind of like Obama getting elected under the slogan, change you can believe in. Well, his change and my change were a whole bunch different, but if I thought that I was getting my change, maybe I'd vote for him. I didn't, okay, and I knew better than that. But the fact of the matter is, you say something like that, and you just wonder what he really has up his sleeve on it. So I don't know what it is, but honestly, getting back to kind of what you said, the real criminals running free, I mean, there's been nobody that's had the courage to go after the Clintonistas and their effort to influence the elections, the falsehoods they put out, the collusion that they had with the Russians, the giving away of Uranium One, the idea of the Steele dossier that was basically fabricated out of thin air and was used as the basis of the investigation on the Trumps. I mean, all of these kinds of things, I believe there is true criminal behavior going on, and when they gave Mueller his charter, it was so broad that he could chase the guy down if he found out there was a dog catcher out there somewhere. I mean, it's a comedy of errors what's going on, and I just think that there's just mud being thrown on the wall, and they're trying to see how much of it'll stick. I'd like to get to the bottom of it and move on with my life.
Kurt, you want to respond to this?
I don't know really what to add, Sam. It's just, it's more of the same, it seems like,
Well, there you have it. And so I don't really know. I'm not telling you that Stone or Kersey or any of these people are as white as the driven snow. All I'm telling you about this is, hey, this is a very interesting twist, and I hate to see guys literally, attack each other and stuff like that. I feel like the real criminals are being let go. Why is Hillary running around and Roger Stone had to go get arrested? Why did they kick in the door, in this kind of a intense, crazy raid? All they had to do is tap on his shoulder to Starbucks and say, Roger, come with us, my friend. Okay, they didn't need this big fiasco, and all of a sudden CNN just happens to be on scene, the only network to be able to document it. They were there at like 5 in the morning. How did all that happen? And the answer is it's nothing but the deep swamp literally attacking anybody they perceive as a threat. Whether they're clean or not, I don't know. But the real criminals aren't going to jail, Kurt.
Well, I don't think... I think here's what Corsi said about it. He said, happy to testify that Roger Stone asked me to reach out to WikiLeaks. So they're taking the twist and saying, that he wants to testify against Stone. I would say he's probably just saying, hey, I'll testify to the things I already said.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know my headline comes from his attorney. So however that breaks down, I don't know how to respond, okay. But whatever. I'm saying is I think they've got people pitted against people, and the good guys are going to jail, and the bad guys are running around free.
The spin doctors, I have just been astonished at how often I have been involved in something that I had the insider's view, not from the swamp perspective, but I was there, I saw what happened, I had interaction with the people that were engaged in whatever subject happens to come up. And then it goes out in the newspaper and it's like, holy cow, this is a whole different scenario. They've spun this thing into an agendized kind of presentation that is totally a fabrication, other than the fact that there was a conversation and the events happened at this time. They're just a complete off the wall. And the fact, as is pointed out, CNN's there. Oh, what? Talk about collusion. talk about collusion with the fellow conspirators. And it's like you get to control the. What do you say, Sam, about who rules the media or controls the media rules or something?
He who owns the media makes the rules, just like he who owns the gold, right?
Exactly, and we are in a media intense world, and honestly, there has been a concerted effort for many many decades to be able to, and the Council on Foreign Relations and all those guys that are. You know, looking for a world government, have been very much at the center of trying to control the message. You know, you look at the Walter Cronkites and the Dan Rathers and the Edward R. Murrows, and I mean, this goes back many decades. This isn't a new thing. The spin doctors have been very, very crafty in this. And I remember for decades listening to Walter Cronkite close it, well, that's the way it is. You know, it's really, just because you said that, well, he has been one of those that was spinning the agenda. And it's a lot of these icons that we've had out as some of these trustworthy and loyal and helpful and friendly and all the good Boy Scouts that we put out on the news. If you do the rest of the story on these people, you come to understand that they were some of the ones that were colluding with the idea that this global government and subverting the things of the original Americanist principles, and they do it very craftily, very subtly, very quietly, and with a very solemn tone. And people believe it, and they still do. It's tragic.
Well, there you have it. And I don't know what to say, you know, when I see these headlines. You know, I don't know that it's exactly right that Corsi, I think Kurt's got a point here, that I'm not so sure Corsi's happy to testify against anybody. At least I wouldn't be. What they're trying to do, though, is they're trying to articulate that, look, I'm telling the truth, and they're trying to not lose the media prosecution before they ever get a chance to actually get to court. And that's kind of why, you know, this court of public opinion is so important in terms of the outcome on some of these things, that I'm afraid that... What's happening is they're both being destroyed in the court of public opinion. They both feel like Mueller's out of control. And what they're saying is we're willing to tell the truth and we're willing to testify, but we're not willing to betray people dishonestly and perjure ourselves like others have done. And I think there's a valuable point in all that. And so when he says he's happy to testify, I personally think it means, now I'm quoting straight from Claim and Law Group's email, so I'm not making this stuff up or twisting anything, but I am saying I believe that what Kersey's saying is, you know what, I'm happy to do whatever it takes to be honest and clear my name, folks. And you know what, I'll testify against or for, whatever you want to say, anybody, because I'm willing to tell the truth, and I am telling the truth. And that's what I believe that Corsi's saying, and I believe that Roger Stone's trying to claim the same idea. And, you know, hopefully he's true. Now, I tried to get a hold of Roger Stone. He hasn't responded to me. The first place he went right after he got out of jail and posted bail was to go on Alex Jones's show. So I know Alex Jones and Stone are kind of working. They're mad at Corsi, and there's kind of an infight going on. I've seen this before where the government literally turns people against people. Kurt and I have been involved in a situation where that actually happened to us, sad to say. I won't go into the details, but I'm telling you, they do this stuff on purpose, and everybody's just trying to save their own skins to some degree. And that's kind of the sham that I see going on here. CNN helping foment that agenda. Kurt, you're first.
CNN helping. Well, yeah, it's a bottom line. That's how they like to do it. Try to divide and conquer you. You know, we're seeing that in so many ways. It's been that way forever. And that's what they're trying to do here, I think.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. Some of these sound principles that are timeless, I've got a plaque here that's in front of me constantly. And if I just raise my eyes from what I'm doing, I see it. And it's a George Washington statement. There's but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. And I think that that's exactly where we need to be. We need to stand firm and true, and let's get to the bottom of it and accept the truth and move ahead.
Amen to that. Quick pause. Sam, Kurt, and Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation is our goal. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The lights are going back on and workers are returning to the offices that have been affected by the partial government shutdown. And many other federal workers who've been working without pay are now looking forward to getting paychecks again as the 35-day shutdown, the longest in U.S. history, has ended with President Trump signing off Friday on a short-term funding measure. It's only good for 3 weeks, though. If a deal's not reached on border security, the government could shut down again.
If there's wrongdoing by other people in the campaign, that I know about, which I know of none, but if there is, I would certainly testify honestly.
Former Trump advisor Roger Stone, while still claiming innocence, is entertaining the idea of working with special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe.
I'd also testify honestly about any other matter, including any communications with the president.
He spoke on ABC's This Week, and this is USA Radio News.
From Sky Pass Entertainment comes The Least of These, The Graham Stain Story.
The law states that no person shall convert or attempt to convert any person from one religious faith to another. And yet not one missionary has been charged.
When speculation mounts that a local missionary is converting locals to Christianity in India.
Leprosy is the veil behind which Stains operates. The tool he uses.
A journalist must choose between his own ambition and the truth.
You bring me evidence of illegal conversion.
If your New Year's resolution is to be healthier, it all starts with a good night's rest. MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special, you'll get the lowest price ever MyPillow has offered for their four-pack, free shipping, and their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special, use my promo code USA to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
At least 31 states and tens of millions of Americans under advisories about a brutal winter storm that's pounding the Midwest, heading into the Northeast. It's going to be followed by dangerous wind chills in some spots as low as minus 55. Louisiana officials say the suspect connected to a killing spree near Baton Rouge is in custody. 21-year-old Dakota Terrio arrested Sunday morning in Richmond County, Virginia. Allegedly shot and killed his parents before killing three other people at two different sites in Louisiana on Saturday. Today marks a tragic anniversary of the Space Shuttle Challenger tragedy. It exploded a minute 13 seconds after liftoff 33 years ago today.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
All seven astronauts aboard were killed, including the first teacher in space, Krista McAuliffe. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, the divide and conquer continues not only between Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi, not only between male and female, not only between black and white, not only between Republican and Democrat, not only between male and female, not only between conservative and liberal. I could go on and on and on, but now they're telling you to pick a side. The USA says pick a side when it comes to Venezuela world. Oh, my goodness, fomenting more and more and more and more war. What do you think? Are you going to pick a side in Venezuela there, Scott?
You know, I it's just my propensity to want to go back to the baseline principles. And first of all, point me to a place in the Constitution that says we have an authority, a right, a privilege, whatever you want to call it, to intervene in sovereign countries. But I'll go back even further to the baseline principle that allowed this nation to even come into existence with the hope of being sovereign. And it was the 1648 Westphalian Treaty. That treaty ended the 30 Years' War and 80 Years' War in Europe, and there were there's a whole long story to it, but basically there were a few baseline principles that came out. One was that every nation is sovereign within its own borders. The second thing is all nations are legally equal. The third thing is that no supranational, meaning foreign intervention, no large... The thing that was a problem back in 1648 was the church was intervening in policies and trying to subvert sovereignty within nations. But you could say United Nations, you could say NATO, you could say CETO, CENTOS, ANZUS, whatever. You could say the Organization of American States. But no supranational organization could intervene within the internal politics of a country. So all nations were sovereign, they were legally equal, and there was to be no foreign or supranational intervention in them. When the Founding Fathers met in 1776, they were fully aware of the 1648 Westphalian Treaty, and when they wrote the Declaration, their perspective was, look, if we can declare independence and we can make it stick, we can become a sovereign nation and nobody can mess with us inside our policies and borders, and we will be able to stand as a nation among nations. And that was the basis of the foundation of the United States. We made it stick. We became a sovereign nation, a nation among nations. And now the people that are globalists, and I would include most of the people at the United States government level that hold senior positions, are seeking to completely subvert that concept. They believe that we ought to be able to stick our nose into everybody's business, that we believe that there should be a supranational everything, whether it's the United Nations. The NATO is the pointy end of the spear. That's the military organization of the United Nations. And it's like, my heavens, they want us to forget the very basis of how we came into existence. I will make a prediction. If we continue along this path, there will come a time when somebody, somewhere, somehow says, you know what, we need to intervene in the United States to make sure that their elections are fair, or that somehow their economy is being run right, or that these immigrants are being treated properly, or you pick a subject.
Yeah, I don't want to pick a side in Venezuela. What I want to do is send them a copy of the Constitution and say, y'all need to embrace the freest principles on the planet, and the sooner you turn to God, family, and country, and the sooner you apply a constitution with the rule of law and the separation of powers, the sooner you'll be in good shape. But other than that, I don't know that we can really do much.
Simon Bolivar, many generations ago, tried to do that in South America. And honestly, he looked to the United States. There were so many things that are right. Our Monroe Doctrine. And Roosevelt tried to say, we get the chance to beat them over the head with a big stick down there. And the fact of the matter is, no. We have stepped in it so many times. I mean, you look at the Panama Revolution against Colombia. Distrust has been immense in South America because the United States constantly intervenes. Let people solve their own problems. And
amen to that.
Our place.
Do you have a final comment on this one, Kurt?
Well, Venezuela, you know, it's a great example of what can happen in when socialism and communism run wild right here close by. And, you know, I hope people learn from it. The problem is I doubt they really will.
Our prayers are they do, that's for sure. And we got a copy of the Constitution ready to go, waiting if they need some help and some guidance and some solutions. It's right there. The Founding Fathers put it together. And, oh, man, when we obey it, it works. All right. I guess they're calling it the largest scam in history. I don't know about that, but it is certainly pretty big. I guess they say half of Facebook accounts are fake. Who says that? Well, Mark Zuckerberg's former Harvard classmate. Half of Facebook accounts are fake, he says. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, I've heard Rush Limbaugh call it fake book. When you analyze, you know, the whole computer world and stuff, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand that, hey, I mean, we've seen these reports about Judge Roy Moore's campaign and so many others that are manipulated by, smart guys in the computer world. And it doesn't surprise me one bit, Sam.
All right. Well, Google and Facebook broke company records for U.S. government lobbying in 2018. So not only are they full of fake news and fake accounts and fake whatever, but now they're two of the biggest lobbying groups in Washington. I guess they broke records for U.S. government lobbying in 2018. Scott?
You know, there's an old saying, an old adage, follow the money. And there's a lot of people that I think they you know, kind of paraphrasing Thoreau, about we're thrashing away at the leaves and the limbs and we're not getting at the roots. And it's one of those things, whether it's a campaign finance law or any of those kinds of things, the real root of it is holding those that are to be our trusted representatives to uphold their oath to the United States Constitution. You can say, everybody's trying to buy influence, they're lobbying, blah, blah, blah. There's campaigns that are getting donations and all that kind of stuff. I think we, the people, have a fundamental responsibility to examine every action by every one of our so-called trusted representatives and say, does this square with the oath that they took? It's not the promise they made of chicken in every pot and two cars in every garage. I mean, all of those things are way beyond what any politician has the right, the responsibility, and even, I mean, legal ability to offer. But we need to say to them, okay, you took an oath to the United States Constitution. It is a limited government, checks and balances, separation of powers. You can only walk in this path. You cannot play outside this sandbox. And it comes down to, you think about it. If somebody from these big media mongol technology firms gave somebody $1 billion and that person stayed firm and true to the commitment to uphold the foundational principles of this nation, who cares? But if they gave them a nickel and it caused them to follow a path that took us from those foundational principles, then it's wrong. And so I believe we, the people, have a responsibility to weigh and measure them in the scale that is the only scale that is appropriate to weigh them in, and that is the United States Constitution. And if they're violating that, remove them from office. And I know all this, we're always worried about let's stop the money, whatever, and I don't think you're going to be able to. It's been anciently it was done that way. I mean, gold coins or copper coins or whatever were passed out in ancient Rome to buy influence. I mean, you bought votes that way. Now the politicians don't buy votes out of their own pocket. They buy it out of our public treasury. They get in office and they basically redistribute our public treasury to people in order to pay the promises they made. We, the people, have got to start to understand that is not anything that's acceptable in the Americanist Foundation. And I think it comes down to us. We need to really recognize it and take the right steps.
Amen to that. Now, I told you that all the wrong guys are going to jail and all the bad guys are out running around free. Well, it turns out the pro-life grandmother, her name is Sandra Merritt, she has been targeted for criminal prosecution by California's Attorney General, acting in coordination with Planned Parenthood. She was one of the people that helped us get these selling body part videos, and now she's being relentlessly attacked in California. Our buddy Matt Staver over at Liberty Council trying to battle for her freedom. Scott?
You know, to the victor goes, they write the history and the spoils and everything like that, and that's part of the problem, is that we're putting corrupt people in high places, and it's and part of it is that most of the people that vote today don't have the bottom baseline principles, and we need to return to that so we can keep the good guys out of jail and put the bad guys in.
Amen to that. Quick pause. Sam, Kurt, and Scott, man, we're running out of time way too quick. We got a bunch of news the networks refuse to use. Straight ahead on your radio.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
USPS is increasing the costs of stamps and other services in 2019, so expect the cost to go up. Sad part about it is I believe that the stamps, or I should say this, letter delivery did make sense. It is constitutional, but 90% of what they're in now is just a losing money proposition, and they need to get out of it yesterday. The expansion's unconstitutional. The legitimate core mission is constitutional. I think they ought to just simply deliver mail once a week down to a government post office, let everybody go down to the post office and pick up their mail once a week. I think that we could simplify this thing and make it not lose money. But they're just going to raise costs as they continue to compete with the private sector, Scott.
You know, again, I always like to go back to the origins of this. And if you know the history and background of the Postal Service, I mean, things are being done wrong now. I will give you that. And there's a whole bunch of rethinking that needs to be done. But the founding fathers, first of all, they were concerned that the idea of delivering messages was not a very secure kind of thing. And they felt like the nation, Thomas Jefferson complained constantly about his mail being opened before it got to him. Okay. And there needed to be some integrity there, but there needed to be also something to help the nation stay in touch. Remember the committees of correspondence and so on that came together in the 1770s and how they shared information and so on and so forth. That was the basis and the background of it. Nowadays, most of the stuff I get in the mail is just junk mail. I mean, it really is I consider it junk. The people that send it don't. They're advertisings and so on. But I think we've kind of lost our path a little bit. But the idea behind it was really foundational, tying the nation together, giving integrity to being able to deliver things in confidence that it was going to not only get there, but it was going to get there unopened. And so I think there does need to be some fundamental changes, and I think we've kind of lost our way on that, as we have on almost everything in
the
nation.
But you could go back to weekly delivery. You could have it at the post office, decreasing the cost of the last mile. You could make it a very stripped-down core solid, secure message delivery service, which was intended by the founders, fund it properly, very inexpensively, not compete with the private sector, and it would be legitimate, and we would completely support that proper role of limited government. And then if anything goes wrong in an area, you'd be able to rely on this secure correspondence. And then we need to make sure that we really focus on the integrity of the system so that it is truly a secure correspondence, as the founders envisioned. Anyway, enough on that, but it's interesting how they continue to raise costs and continue to try to compete with the private sector, right?
They do indeed. And there's a lot of things the private sector does a whole bunch better, including garbage collection, honestly. So if we could get away from this government as the ends-all, be-all for everything, I'm fully in support of that. I think that we need to go back into this private enterprise kind of world that we started off in America.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it looks like we've mentioned this before, Kurt. I mentioned that Hillary might be running in 2020, and you didn't think it was going to happen. You got more news on this?
Well, the bottom line is, at least on the whole presidential thing, you've got a whole bunch of news over the weekend that Howard Schultz, the big CEO, former CEO of Starbucks is planning an independent run, and the headlines read stuff like, oh, that'll really hurt the Democrats. But I don't see that. I think that if he ran, he would pull votes from the president and maybe make it so that Hillary could have her wish, in my opinion.
Well, so there you go. You know, I don't know if Hillary will do it or not. I predict that she probably will run.
Well, whatever. But I think right
now, there's
lots
of money there for her.
The stable that's coming out of the Democrats right now, I mean, they've probably got seven or eight that are declared, and they've got probably several that are doing a committee to look at it, and they've probably got a dozen or more that are in the wings kind of thinking about it. And I look at all of them, and I think that if the Republicans, and I'm not suggesting anybody in particular, but if the Republicans played this right, they could squash any one of them. They're their own worst enemy. If you look at what they stand for and who they are and what their basis of their history and politics and what they bring to the table, if it were the Republicans, in my opinion, should be saying, bring them on, baby. I mean, these people are basically, they're like the 1871 commune in Paris. I mean, they don't know how to govern. They wouldn't have the slightest idea how to govern within principle. It's like so many of these loudmouths that we've gotten into Congress lately that are profane and vulgar and rude, and they are so uncentered in terms of what America's always been about. They want to burn it down instead of maintain the country, and I just say, wow, if that's the best they can do, I don't think the Republicans should have a bit of trouble maintaining the presidency. Now, I'm not saying that what's happening now is right, but I'm just saying that the people that are coming out of the woodwork are...
Well, here's what I believe is happening. Here's what I believe is happening. Before, the nation thought Hillary was just too liberal. And they thought she was too old used material, whatever you want to call it, too scandal, crime, hate-filled, doesn't come across, polite. Okay? And so she's not a very good candidate, and everybody knows it. However, if you have Trump radical on the, quote, conservative side and doing crazy stuff, where they basically say, hey, this guy has no experience, the guy's just a nutcase on the right side. And then you have these radical leftist socialist extremists come out to where it's just like, whoa. Then pretty soon Hillary looks like, you know what, she may not be perfect, but she could be the first woman. She's got a lot of experience, and she's, you know what, she's not extreme either way. In fact, I mean, she's really what we believe in, right, Scott? I believe that's what they're kind of going for.
Well, you know, sadly,
I mean, I know it's psychotic, I get it, but I'm telling you.
It probably is more truth than any of us want to do. I mean, if Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton are the most statesmanlike people that they can come up with, I mean, Joe Biden and his foul mouth, it was a precursor to some of these people that are currently there, and their profane ways and their absurd, obscene, kind of twisted view of what government ought to be. But if they're the most statesmanlike people you can come up with, and I admit, Donald Trump is not statesmanlike, but what has come to this nation where we have reality talk show people and we have radical burn the country to the ground kind of mentality coming out? I say, what are we doing?
Well, and they're even positioning this even stranger. Kurt, talk about the CEO of Starbucks, huh? Or former, I should say.
Yeah, the bottom line is the guy's got billions and he's willing to run as an independent, even against the government debt. So in my opinion, it might shape up pretty interesting, but I'd see like the Ross Perot kind of deal where Ross Perot, pulled off certain ones and then Clinton walked right in. So that's what I can see happening in this.
The question would be, would they have been better off with George H.W. Bush or Bill Clinton? And I think that neither one of them was what I would call a good selection. So, I mean, really, we the people, I say this so often when we get on there, we the people have a responsibility to start understanding the baseline principles and insisting that those that hold office abide by them. It's the only way we're going to survive. We can't keep throwing it into the, as I mentioned a moment ago, the 1871 Paris Commune. I mean, These people cannot govern. They do not understand the principles, principle one, of how to carry this out. And we're putting them in office. I'm just astonished.
Yeah, you're right about all that. And I don't know what's going to happen, but this former CEO Howard Schultz is thinking about running on an independent ticket. He might just be the key. He might just be the key to get Donald Trump reelected. Time will tell what's going to happen. I just wish we had a constitutional candidate to vote for. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. But you know what? If the people won't support a constitutional candidate, if they don't give a hang, if they're more worried about party over principle, we're going to continue to get what we've got. And sadly but truly, God does give us what we deserve ultimately. And if we have abandoned morality and character and honesty and integrity and all that kind of stuff for the glitz and glitter of whomever gets put before us with their profane words, I guess we'll get what we deserve.
Unfortunately, I agree with that point. All right, well, while this is going on, religious organizations are getting attacked like no other. First, across the pond, Kurt.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember this one.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt sent me like 20 stories. No wonder he's confused. I've been spending the last half hour just trying to grab them all and organize them. So the first one has to do with the Philippines, Kurt. At least 18 people killed.
There was a big explosion there. And, I think this is more of the war on religion. They basically had some bombs go off and blasted a church, and 18 people were killed there in the Philippines. And I think in the future you're going to have more and more what's called home church, Sam, because if they blow up all the churches and get rid of them, then it's pretty hard.
Yeah, and I hope they don't start blowing up people's homes too, but there you have it. But we're not immune to it right here in America.
That's right. Even in St. George, Utah, over the weekend, a new building that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was building went up in flames, and they suspect arson.
You know, you guys, this is a fundamental problem, and the attack is coming from the very highest levels in this nation. In September of 2016, the United States Civil Rights Commission put out a 296-page report that said basically religious liberties must be defined in as narrow a scope as possible so that these newly created rights, you can take whatever perverse view you want on those things, will not be subverted. So that the very highest levels of the United States government, and what I've found interesting is that when the people became literate and they got the scriptures and they started to understand God-given rights and they started to look for a government that would protect those kind of things, you look at our First Amendment, the first right protected after the right to life, which we've already violated and we've talked about that, but the first right in the First Amendment is religion. Religion is fundamental, and if we lose that, we will lose this nation, and it was the basis upon which this nation was established. The people that came to America largely came to be able to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience, and this is under attack, under assault, and as you point out, we're not immune to it in this country. We just haven't, followed some of the paths, but when the fundamental principles being put forth by the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, so-called civil rights,
It's out of control. Anyway, I changed the stake center on your headline, Kurt, to church, because people don't know what a stake center is, my friend. So people understand it's a church. And then the final tidbit is Gary Herbert now wants to create documentation so people can change their genders. You cool with that, Scott?
But you know what?
Gary Herbert's a nut.
Gender. Holy cow. I mean, you think about, are you going to be God now, for crying out loud? I mean, it is what it is. And biologically and scientifically, you say we believe in science. Science says you are what you are. I mean, God says you are. And you're going to be a government agent that now declares it otherwise? How absurd and foolish and egotistical.
All right, we're flat out of time. I'm gonna spend the next 20 minutes catching up on all the stories Kurt sent me, ladies and gentlemen, for tomorrow. So there you have it. Hard-hitting news always at your fingertips. We have more news that we can cover in a lifetime, ladies and gentlemen. The real issue is to apply it to the principles that made America great and then advocate for the return to those sacred principles. Thanks, Scott.
Take care, gentlemen. See you next time.
To preserve the nation is our goal. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Scott's website. His books and videos and more are there. Check them out. freedomsrisingsun.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.